Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You know, there's this whole, I talked with somebody once who said, you know, if you just look at where the stars are in the sky, don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation, what does it show you? So you just outlined it, Roland. What does it show you?
Is there a sign in the heavens? What the heck is she talking about? This is the Vice President of the United States of America. Another disaster interview. And this going viral as Vice President Kamala Harris does another interview. This is not with The Breakfast Club or Charlemagne the God, where I think she sounded, at best, disingenuous when asked about pretty simple issues from callers and the hosts. But what's going on here with the vice president who's just out there and people saying, what is she talking about? First, I thought, okay, maybe she's into, like, what's her? She's a Scorpio. She's celebrating a big birthday. Her 60th birthday is this weekend. And is she talking about being a Scorpio, her sign, or something of that nature? Nope. 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 Seriously, I listened in context. I know that, you know, you can listen to a clip and say, well, it's taken out of context. I just have no idea sometimes what this woman is talking about. And that's why she's a danger. The more
I have the full context, if you want.
Okay, let's listen to it.
I actually like it. Jemele Hill and I talked about it. But again, he's singling out cities where there are significant African-Americans, and that's who he's talking about,
yes,
black people.
Yes, yes,
yes.
You know, there's
you
this
want an
whole,
answer
I Wait. Talked with somebody once who said, you know, if you just look at where the stars are in the sky, don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation, what does it show you? Mm. So you just outlined it, Roland. What does it show you?
What?
That the cities that he picks on in terms of black population or black mayor are both.
Oh.
Come on.
We're in North Carolina.
Come on.
Because Roland's like, back to reality. We are in North Carolina. We are not in space. We are not in the stars. I mean, to the host point, that was not an answer, but it was just bizarre. Look up to this. Does she sound high? I'm just going to say it.
Yeah. I don't want to make allegations or anything, but
at least that would make sense.
Well,
you know?
It's like one of those stoner conversations where you pause for a while and you're like, dude, I got, hold on, I got something coming to me. Here it comes.
Right?
Cities where there are significant African Americans, and that's who he's talking about.
Yes.
Black people.
Yes.
And here's her thoughts.
Yes.
Yep, gears are turning.
Yes.
You know, there's this whole...
And the best thing she could come up with is the constellations? Come on, Kamala.
And the way that she's blinking her eyes, and she goes like this, and she's, yes, and she's, it's as if...
This question wasn't on the list.
It's just a blank, there's a blank screen, and yes, yes, and then she sort of wipes her nose, and I talked to somebody once, not even, she doesn't even know who she talked to. Because I think if somebody's talking about the, I don't know, if somebody's talking about the stars and how you can equate the stars or it's biblical, you know, following the stars and the wise men to Jesus. I mean, seriously, I just have no idea what the heck. But if somebody told me that I should look up to the stars and view them as the points and a greater meaning in life, I think I'd remember. Who that someone is, right? Is it your, I don't know, your history teacher or your parent?
Someone she met at Wawa.
Somebody who you were toking with. I don't know what to say. It's maybe you can explain this 855-839-1210. But what, so back here, you know, in the world of reality, let's just think about what's going on. So the vice president is, where is she not reaching out to the stars today, but she will be reaching out to Republicans in purple or red, Bucks County, a lot of signs in Bucks. I don't know. Is it purple? Is it red? But she'll be in Bucks County today, Washington's Crossing, and she'll be with a group of never Trumpers, former, most of these people's names have a former in front of it, former New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman, remember her? Former Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Barbara Comstock, and Denver Riggleman of Virginia. Do you know who these people are? Because these are the big guns. These are the celebrities. I'm sure everybody in Bucks County is clamoring to meet Chris Shays of Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
And Mickey Edwards of Oklahoma. I know that if you're in Bucks County today on this busy Wednesday, I'm sure you want to go meet Mickey. That's who's going to be.
Well, you don't?
That's who's campaigning.
Mickey Edwards, a great baseball Hall of Famer?
There you go.
Oh, wait. Does sound like a baseballer, doesn't he?
So these are all a former lieutenant governor from Georgia, whatever. So, and remember Liz Cheney, the former representative in Wyoming, who couldn't even win a primary, daughter of Dick Cheney. So this is, they're trying to make this symbolic, right? That it's near the site where George Washington, you know, obviously crossed the Delaware River. We go there for those commemorations, right, Christmas Day and so on. And this is taking us back to the Revolutionary War. And they want this to be symbolic, right? That's why she's going to these places. And also, it's Bucks County. So we'll see how she does there. What's going on in Georgia? We'll visit this with Michael Whatley. Locally, nationally, when we think about 250,000 voters already cast their ballots in Georgia. And this is also a storm-ravaged area. So does the storm, as the aftermath continues, nobody's talking about it. I update it every day for you as far as the death toll rising by the day and the number of dead that I saw, at least 95 people just missing. Just missing. Can you even imagine that? This is happening in America. More than 1 million people still without power across the 7 states. It's a horrific situation. 2 major hurricanes. So we'll update that with our friend Michael Whatley, who you know by now. And certainly we love his updates and appreciate him. And then what's going on here? What's going on in the South? And we'll give you the lowdown as far as where is Trump. We'll talk about where is Harris. J.D. Vance last night in Lafayette Hill in Montgomery County. And then, of course, the great debate, the last debate between, this is a huge race, as career politician and Democrat, Senator Bob Casey Jr., being challenged by Republican Dave McCormick. So we'll have some of those highlights for you as well. Thanks for being here today, 855-839-1210. A lot of breaking news. And by the way, you're not going to miss a thing with Trump on with Harris, a much higher quality Harris. I'm talking about Harris Faulkner of Fox. So we can't wait for that to begin at 11. And we'll take that. We'll dip into that as well. You won't miss a thing. Thanks for being here on The Dawn Show. Quick break. Michael Whatley on the other side. Be right back. Trump in the headlines, of course, this week with many of you calling in about the great rally that you experienced here in Pennsylvania in Oaks at the Expo Center, which needs some new HVAC for sure, as that was an incredible example of media bias and just media malpractice, in my opinion. But we also want to talk about what's going on in Georgia, North Carolina, and the South, and the numbers, record numbers of voters, early voting in Georgia, with a little help from our friend Michael Whatley, chairperson of the Republican National Committee, checking in. Good morning, Michael.
It's good to be on with you.
It's great to be on with you. I do want to get to what's going on in Georgia, what's happening in Pennsylvania, and a lot of, you know, as you know, everybody listening is anxious to know what is going to happen. And this is, in so many ways, no matter what side of the political aisle people are on, nobody really knows what's going to happen. So there's that going on. But for Trump supporters, and I will tell you, Michael, we were inundated yesterday with phone calls because this phony story, this fake news, as you well know, and it was made national news, but it was right here. And this ridiculous narrative that continues to be carried out on some of our local media and national media that somehow Trump had this a moment of senility and was putting on a music concert, ended the great rally in Oaks, PA early. It was a lie. And we had multiple witnesses who were there. We've confirmed that that was a big lie. Thankfully, ABC News was there and they did the right thing and said, no, people were having medical emergencies. It got hot and stuffy. And so Trump was compassionate to people. And so it's another example, though, of unfortunately, the media being complicit with partisan politics with Democrats.
Yeah, look, the media is not going to be fair to Donald Trump. The media has never been fair to Donald Trump. They're never going to be fair to Donald Trump, which is why he, you know, is it's so important that he is that once in a generation ability to go out and talk directly to the American voters. And it's so important that he does that. And I think that, you know, we're going to continue to have him at events where he can talk directly to the people of Pennsylvania, but also all the other states, North Carolina and Georgia and Arizona and Nevada. You know, he's doing a fantastic job right now of blanketing all of these states. And, you know, we're seeing the same with J.D. Vance and all of the rest of the surrogates that are out there right now pounding to make sure that people understand that it's the time, you know, and we're seeing right now early voting has started. Absentee ballot, mail-in ballot has already started in a lot of these battleground states. So we're in the maelstrom. You know, we really are at this point in the middle of the voting cycle. And I'm really optimistic. I'm really upbeat. You know, we look at voter registration numbers. We look at the early voting numbers, the mail-in voting numbers, who's requested them, who's returned them. You know, we're all kind of, as you said, trying to read the tea leaves mm-hmm. here and see, you know, what is happening in real time. And what I do see so far, I really like. And I think that, you know, President Trump has, you know, managed to pull better in every one of these battleground states than he did in 2016 or 2020. And we're excited about the enthusiasm that we see on the ground. And we've got a lot of great supporting cast with our senators and our candidates for Senate. You know, we're looking at Eric Hovde up in Wisconsin and Mike Rogers in Michigan and of course, Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania, Bernie Moreno over in Ohio, who are all doing absolutely great job kind of making sure that people understand how close they are to Donald Trump, but also that they're understanding the nuances, the importance, the issues in their respective states. So as we're heading into, you know, these last 3 weeks, I really like where we're at, and I certainly am happier than Kamala's team is.
And that's what I see as well here. I just want to ask you about another race, and that is one that's not getting as many headlines as the challenge by Republican Dave McCormick, of course, a combat veteran and somebody who's a very successful businessman as well, born and raised here in Pennsylvania, against, you know, really taking on a giant with a legacy name because of his dad, Bob Casey Jr. But the other case is this Pennsylvania 7th District, and that's Susan Wild, the incumbent, being challenged by Republican Ryan McKenzie. What do you see on that one as far as the House race that could predict? Some say that this race is the one that could predict the presidency.
I think that's right. And it's an important district. It's an important part of the state. And Ryan is doing an absolutely great job of making sure that he is introducing himself directly to those voters. And he's out there. You know, we've got a couple pickup opportunities in Pennsylvania. We really need to expand that majority in the House. I've been working very closely with the Speaker, Mike Johnson, Richard Hudson, who runs the Congressional Committee for the House Republicans. And we're very optimistic, you know, that when President Trump wins this thing, you know, we're going to be able to pick up 10 or 15 additional seats. And we do have a few of them in Pennsylvania that we've got a really good opportunity for.
And so as far as storm ravage, the seven states, really, Florida, and I know in that would be North Carolina, South Carolina, how much of this storm and the recovery that I got to tell you, Michael, I'm shocked that it does not get bigger headlines. Well, I shouldn't be shocked, but what people are dealing with that storm ravaged area, the death toll expected to, you know, every day it goes up, and we have nearly 100 people still missing. How much does the storm aftermath and hurricanes Helene and Milton impact the vote?
Yeah, big kudos to the state legislature in Georgia and North Carolina, because they were able to kind of make sure that we have the voting systems are going to be in place for, you know, all of the people in the western part of the state in North Carolina and all through the storm track in Georgia. We've been working with the North Carolina Party and the Georgia Party. Right now, what we're seeing is thousands of families who've been displaced. We've seen counties that absolutely have been turned upside down, but power is beginning to come back on. We're seeing roads that are being cleared and are up and running. The Board of Elections and the legislature have assured us that they are going to have polling locations open. People are absolutely going to be able to vote. And so what we're doing right now is communicating with all of those families, all of those voters, and saying, here's how you vote, where you vote, and when you vote, just to make sure that they understand any changes that we've had to make. You know, if, for example, if the precinct is, you know, always at a school and that school has been destroyed, well, then we're going to have to find another place, you know, to move the precinct. But I will tell you this, the people of North Carolina, the Western North Carolina, are absolutely ready to vote. They are excited about this election. They support Donald Trump, and it is going to take more than a storm to keep them from going and casting their votes.
There was a new study that came out of Arizona Christian University, said that millions of Christians, in particular evangelicals, are going to stay home and abstain from voting. That one took me by surprise. Are you looking at the Christian vote and in America, but as well, I would imagine the Bible vote and what that study is all about?
Yeah, we are. You know, and it's been an interesting phenomenon because about half of evangelicals are not even registered to vote across the country. And so we've had a lot of effort to try and reach out to that community to get them involved. We've been working, you know, with great leaders in the faith community, guys like Ralph Reed and others, to kind of make sure that we are talking to these people, we are reaching out to these people. Donald Trump has a major faith event coming up in North Carolina on Monday. We just had one in North Carolina with J.D. Vance last week. On Friday, we're going to be doing one down in Georgia with Ben Carson and Ralph Reed. So, you know, this is a community that we're working very aggressively on and, you know, trying to make sure that they understand, because Kamala Harris has said that she is going to be the most radical, progressive president ever. She is absolutely no restrictions on abortion whatsoever, even though that is way outside the mainstream for the American voters. She is going to fight every day for transgenders and make sure that taxpayers are paying for transgender surgeries for, you know, prisoners and illegal aliens. She said that she's going to fight to allow boys and women's sports and men and women's locker rooms. She is absolutely outside the mainstream. And when it comes to protecting religious liberties, Donald Trump has walked the walk. He was the most pro-life president in the history of this country. And he is going up against a lady who said that she will be, she really is the most pro-abortion candidate really in the history of the country.
She also claims that she worked at a McDonald's, but apparently nobody can find the McDonald's or the record of that, which brings me to Philadelphia. There are reports here in Pennsylvania and even Philadelphia that this weekend, former President Trump may be at a McDonald's, maybe frying up some fries. Is that true?
That's what we're hearing. And I think, you know, it just is a great way, again, for the president to go out and communicate directly with the voters. And when, you know, there is a lot that you can do with an event. And you know, the Democrats are going to continue to call it a stunt. But you know what? It shows the American people that he is serious about this campaign. And Kamala Harris is just not trustworthy.
You know, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for taking the time with us, and Godspeed. Michael, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Take care. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Yes, hope the conversation will continue with Michael Whatley. All of a sudden, I realized, oh my goodness, it's 10:27. We have a great guest just ahead, just a few minutes away. And this is we're going to take a spin here a little bit. Somebody who I believe he actually starred on an episode of The Apprentice with Trump at some point. I have to ask him about this, but a famous musician is going to join me right around the corner. You're going to love this. Little surprise, little something different that Dan Borowski set up. In my family, we love the tradition of finding Christmas concerts. Maybe something different you haven't done before, or, you know, maybe it's something familiar. Which brings me to a great Christmas concert, holiday concert, that'll be right before Christmas here in Philadelphia. And to tell us a little more is a very famous guitarist, Joel Hoekstra, joining me now, who plays for, yes, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And you may know him as well at Whitesnake. So all my rock fans are going to, you know, love me for this. And I know that, welcome in, Joe. It's so great to have you here, Joel.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
I mean, you've really done it all as far as Cher, Night Ranger, Broadway show, Rock of Ages, and all your work, not just with Siberian, Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Whitesnake, but even Foreigner and so many others. I we couldn't even print out all of the work you've done, you know, and you're, you know, which is a testament. It's amazing. So it's just my honor to have you here on the Dawn Show. But tell me about Sunday, December 22nd, Philadelphia, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock concerts. I love these kind of, you know, holiday concerts. By the way, we're supposed to have a white Christmas on the East Coast and in Philadelphia. We're very excited about that. So take me through what you love as far as the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and what we could expect.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do my best. I mean, it's a very unique show. There's a story on the front half of the show, rock opera, if you will. And this year it's going to be The Lost Christmas Eve, which is a story that we haven't performed since 2013 for context. Plus, it's an all reworked version. So even our diehard fans that are following us from year to year are very excited about this year. And then the second half of the show is a little bit more of just like a freewheeling rock concert that focuses on the magnitude of the production. And if you haven't seen Trans-Siberian, it's just incredible. Just to look at alone. I mean, we've got a video wall the width of the arena. We've got a Pink Floyd laser light show that's like out of this world. Ridiculous, amazing pyrotechnics happening, like a Kiss show or something. And then you've got moving hydraulic lifts out over the audience that the performers are playing on. We will run off of the stage and play right down, like right directly in front of you, and it snows indoors. It's an incredible show to just see, much less hear. So it's very, very special, unique hybrid of elements that makes it a family-friendly show. It's going to sound super cliche to everybody, but there's something for all ages in this. Like, the kids love looking at it, right? The video, the fire, and the lasers. And you've got the older audiences really appreciate the story. It puts them in the holiday spirit. And then there's people in my world who go, because, like, hey, this is a cool rock concert. So you get like this unique hybrid of elements that Paul O'Neill laid out and had in his vision, our founder creator. And it's just really cool to see it all come to fruition. I mean, it's something that he envisioned becoming a Christmas tradition for so many. And now, you know, this year we're going to surpass 20 million tickets sold. It's amazing to be ingrained in North American Christmas culture at this point in time. It's really fun.
Yeah, Joel, I got a quick question for you. Like, as a producer here, I watch your concerts and I am fascinated by the production that goes into them and the decisions that have the pyro and all. Are you picking your own pyro? And when you're on a rotating platform that's elevated above the stage, who's making those kind of calls? Do you have any input in that?
Oh, no, the higher-ups decide how to barbecue me. In all seriousness, the production decisions, I mean, all that stuff is like, that is literally a 365-day-a-year job. They start talking about that when the last note of the tour is still ringing in the air, and they're like, all right, next year, let's talk about it. And then they start planning the stage and start talking about what story, et cetera. And as a musician, I mean, it doesn't get much better than to be on that stage because, you know, in all honesty, it just makes you look cool even just standing there. I mean, when you got a wall of flames behind you and you got lasers going all over the place, it's like, wow, I look pretty cool.
Are you doing the heavy metal, like headbanging hair all over the place in front of the fire?
He does have great hair.
He does.
I mean, there's definitely an element of Trans-Siberian that's like that. But there's, I say stylistically, there's a lot of different things represented. There's like, you'll hear some like R&B influences in the music, and certainly classical music. There's a big element to that. You know, I mean, that's a lot of what's behind the name. The Trans-Siberian Railway is something that brought the, like, all different cultures together. And I think that's something that Paul O'Neill's vision was in naming the band, which, you know, such a unique name, it has such a different connotation these days, and there's many shared memes about it. But I think just how fun it is to bring people together, and we see that, and we've got an amazing fan base that follows around from city to city and have made us part of their holiday tradition. I often joke that we're like the Grateful Dead of Christmas. And we've got people that come to see us like year after year and follow us around from city to city and see multiple shows. It's just really cool to be able to play music that I love with people that I love and enjoy spending time with. Growly's great talent pool musicians in TSO. And get out and often fill an arena twice a day. Like, you know, when we're playing Wells Fargo, it's going to be packed, both shows. And for us to get on the bus at the end of that day and go, man, we just, you know, we just rocked Philly for like, you know, 25,000 people or something today. I mean, it's a really cool feeling as a musician. You don't get that too often.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, I was just looking. I'm like, oh, this is a great event for, you know, I love that you said that was my question, if it was family friendly, because for our kids, could we take them? But you're saying whether they're teenagers, whether they're younger, the grandparent, you could really take the whole family and everybody gets something out of it.
Yes, as unbelievable as it sounds, you look out and you can see like three generations of family. Like there'll be the grandparents, parents, and kids. Everybody actually is happy. the kids are not like tugging at the sleeves going, is this thing almost over? Like, what's going on here? Everybody truly enjoys it. It's really totally 100% unique in that regard. I can't actually think of anything else like it. So, I mean, there's a lot of words you can use to try to describe the show, but if you haven't seen us, come out and see us. There's a reason I think that we've been able to sell 20 million tickets and sell more than 12 million CDs and, you know, obviously become ingrained in the culture here, in the holiday culture. We're all over Christmas radio. You'll watch a football game and inevitably they're playing TSO on the way out to commercial. And of course, all these viral light shows that people have done to our music and that have gone, you know, where they program all their Christmas lights to our music. And it's just really fun to be a part of that. And we're looking forward to coming to Philly. I mean, Wells Fargo is a magnificent venue. I mean, it's electric. Yes. And Philly is an incredible town. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys. And it's always a very special stop for us.
Appreciate it. And so Trans-Siberian Orchestra, we know you obviously from Whitesnake. We know you from Broadway musical Rock of Ages. Were you on The Apprentice, Celebrity Apprentice, at one point?
I was on there. I was on an episode through making the movie Rock of Ages. Okay. I was in a scene with Sebastian Bach, Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon, Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme, and Debbie Gibson of all people. And Debbie ended up being on Celebrity Apprentice, and she said, "Hey, would you come down and play with me and be a part of this episode?" And so I just did that. And I actually last week was on Dancing with the Stars as well. If anybody happened to tune in and see that, they had a hair metal episode, and
that was
they had me on as like a special
hold on,
guest.
I am forced to watch. I cannot wait to share that with my wife tonight,
oh
Joel.
My gosh.
That is so exciting because we were watching that, and I was saying, that's a badass guitar. Were you the guy that was on stage that had like the focus? Remember there was one song that there was a lot of focus on the lead guitarist. Was that you up there?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, that's so cool. Sorry. I'm nerding out a little bit over here.
I love it. This is awesome. Well, we can't wait for you to be here in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center. I'm looking it up, and it's saying high demand event. So this is selling out fast. So it's something where you want to plan ahead.
Don, I got one more question for him. He mentioned it in passing, but the light shows that kind of, I'm just curious, was that really what exploded the popularity of Trans-Siberian Orchestra? Because you can't drive through a suburban neighborhood now without having one of these light shows, you know, sync to your music. And I really think it really started with a Miller Lite ad back in 2004. Am I correct in saying that?
I believe so. I mean, I think it was actually really radio that really first broke it. I think that really through being played on the air consistently in Cleveland is kind of where it spawned out of. And that's the band really took off from there. So this is something that's been out there really since, you know, 1998, 99. And in terms of the longevity, that's really comes from being Trans-Siberian Orchestra itself. Like, it's something that's very much about the show. It's not so much about me or any single individual in it. It was Paul O'Neill's vision was that this be a tradition that live on beyond him, and it's kind of bigger than all of us. So we set aside all our individual stuff to give you guys like the best possible show. It's really about Trans-Siberian Orchestra and that experience for people. So it really is truly unique and it's wonderful as a guitar player to be a part of it, man. I mean, it's unlike anything else that I've done. It's, you know, I've had a lot of great opportunities, done a lot of really, really cool stuff, but TSO is very, very special.
I love it. Joel Hoekstra, you got your inspiration from AC/DC?
Yeah. As a kid, my parents were classical musicians, and they had me on cello at 3 and piano at 7. And I was like, no, I want to be the next Steve Carlton. I wanted to be a baseball pitcher, you know. And then when I was 11, I saw Angus Young in AC/DC, and I went, well, wait, that's the coolest person I've ever seen in my life. I got to be that guy. Now, I didn't realize I was going to grow to be about a foot taller than him, but nonetheless, Back in Black was the album that made me want to get going on guitar and pick it all up. So I owe a lot to him for that inspiration.
I love it. Well, Joel Hoekstra.
One more question before Joel goes, because I'm still nerding out about this Dancing with the Stars. I just got to ask, as someone who's not a fan of Dancing with the Stars, but into the world of it, because my wife is a diehard fan of it, during your episode, there was a hugely controversial moment where Gene Simmons, during his judging, gave pretty low scores and was smiling and laughing about it. I wonder, at backstage, did you have any conversations with Gene Simmons of Kiss, and did you ask him what the hell he was thinking in his judging by chance?
You know, I had a part. I also play some acoustic shows with a friend, and a week before in Buffalo, not a week, I'd say 3 weeks before in Buffalo, we were on the same bill as Gene, and I spoke extensively with him that night. And I, at that time, it wasn't announced that he was a part of this Dancing with the Stars thing. So I ended up talking with him for about an hour and a half that night. And he was just, you know, a great guy, like out of nowhere, which he's, you know, kind of an intimidating guy. So I was like, hey, that was cool. I just had a great conversation with Gene Simmons for like an hour and a half. And I saw him only beforehand at Dancing with the Stars. And he was very cool again, but we didn't really... In all honesty, during the show, I was so focused on trying to just play right because I was nervous. I mean, there's like 2
really?
Million people watching that show, and you're going, man, don't mess up. Like, we're live on national TV here. Don't mess up. So I was paying very little attention to any of the judging and things like that, and more attention to, okay, where do I need to be? There was all kinds of stuff happening. I mean, they had me standing on the hood of that car, and I'm thinking, if I fall right now, I'm the laughingstock of the entire, like, anybody who's watching this show. Like, so I'm trying to do my rock moves and go, don't fall. But now, Gene was really cool backstage. I don't know, you know, I suppose there's an element of that. Gene Simmons enjoys being controversial, right? So I suppose it almost comes with the territory. But he certainly was really, really nice to me at this event and the previous one. And that was really fun.
Well, we can't wait for December 22nd here in Philadelphia, Wells Fargo Center, as you will be performing with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You're legendary guitarist. Will we see some solos December 22nd?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I thought so.
Guitar solos.
Just making sure.
Absolutely.
Joel, thank you so much. And we can't wait to see you here in Philadelphia December 22nd. I know it's selling out. Thank you, Joel Hoekstra. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time out today. Appreciate you.
Oh, appreciate you, too. So Joel Hoekstra, I don't know why I'm Joel Hoekstra, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's a mouthful there. But this sounds – are you going to do this? Is this something you would do, Dan?
What?
Go?
Yeah, it's a transfer. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
I know. I'm looking up the tickets.
Yeah. I think I'm the kind of guy. So first off, I love the music of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So I would go for the music itself. But I'm the kind of guy, like Maisie drugged me to an Ed Sheeran concert. And I have no desire to see Ed Sheeran live. But it's just, it tickles my production bones to see how other people run shows and things like that. So something like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, especially with their... The amount of fireworks they use, it's more than like WrestleMania, you go to that thing, and there's nonstop pyro and effects, and yeah, that's something really cool to see.
Yeah, I think it sounds, and my son Michael, our theme song is AC/DC, Back in Black. It's like our, I don't know, I think when he was going through diagnosed diabetes type 1, you know, because you have the readings back in black. I don't know what it was, but that's like our theme song. So 855-839-1210. We took a little break of our own from all the politics, but we'll jump right back into it. And don't worry, you're not going to miss a thing with Trump coming on live. And that's going to happen in the 11 o'clock hour. But I do have a lot of breaking news this morning. So we'll talk about all of that and more. Got to talk about my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. You know by now, I've talked about Chapman for years. They're local, like-minded. Two brothers, Mike and Mark Chapman, started their business, small business out in Chester County. Oh, my goodness. And now, as their families have grown, their business certainly has grown. Just great guys who I trust their business. And they've done, like I say, the work they've done in my home is amazing. Just beautiful work. So high quality, too. What are they doing in October? So we're halfway through October. This is your chance. You've got to send Chapman a photo of your front door. You know why? Because everybody who sends in a photo gets $500 in credit toward a new front door. But one person with the door most in need of a little or a lot, TLC, is going to get $1,000 in credit toward that new front door. Obviously, the updated front door, it's like a makeover, instant makeover for your home, boost the curb value. So whether it's a single door, double door, door with the side lights, they have such an experienced project consultant that's going to work with you, help you choose the perfect door for your home. And just think of Chapman for windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, the shutters, all the hardware choices. You can give them a call or text, 610-431-8898. I love to take the virtual tour and see the before and after photos at ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. This detective, law enforcement, a sergeant, I should say, in South Jersey, where neighbors are calling 911 saying that several guys are kicking in the door of this law enforcement officer, a sergeant. And so the new details from this is Bridgeton police say they rushed to answer those calls to this home. They say when they arrived, they found the victim ID'd as one of their own, 51-year-old Monica Mosley, a sergeant with the Cumberland County Prosecutor's Office. And they could not save her life. So murdered as reportedly these people kicked in her front door. So is this a situation where this sergeant was being targeted? Why? Because she's in law enforcement? What's going on here? We don't know. We don't have the answers. They did follow the trail to Cooper University Hospital in Camden, as well as I think there was another hospital involved, but it was at Cooper in the emergency department that one person is being detained for questioning after being treated for a gunshot wound. I still don't have all the details. I'm giving you what I'm getting on the record from police, because, of course, I would not reveal off-the-record information. So I'm just trying to give this. But the chief there, the police chief, saying that he has known Sergeant Mosley for most of her career, expressing heartache and condolences to her immediate and extended family members and to the entire staff of the prosecutor's office. So I know Zioli is very friendly with some of these prosecutors in South Jersey. So I know that we're trying to just find out what's going on here, but it's a devastating story. And so we want to get to the bottom of that and just please pray for the family and these officers to hear about this. So we'll continue to follow that one. And I love that we're not getting all the details as we switch gears and think about Trump maybe serving up some fries and Big Macs. I love that story, the McDonald's story. It's one of my favorites. But something you can bite into, and that is the final debate, second debate, that was in Philadelphia, 6ABC. It's not getting a lot of headlines. There's so much happening. But this is an important race, not just for Pennsylvania, but obviously for the balance of the Senate, because we have a longtime incumbent senator here who is a junior. This is Bob Casey Jr., longtime senator here, career politician, and he's getting the biggest challenge of his political career by one Republican challenger, Dave McCormick, who, as you know, Republican has never been, he's an outsider. McCormick has never been a politician before in his life. This is all new to him. He's a businessman, successful. And I don't care what the commercials say, look him up. I mean, he's born and raised here in Pennsylvania and West Point grad, combat veteran, and then went on to, you know, do big things in business. But he's the challenger. So Dan has Big Dan's cut sheet. Where do you want to begin with the economy?
Yeah, why don't we start with Bob Casey will start with asking for a cause of inflation, and he can't name one single thing besides the one thing he continues to return to, that being price gouging. Take a listen, Don.
Pat, there's no question that when you have the kind of skyrocketing prices, again, corporate profits up 75%, there are a number of causes. But the Federal Reserve told us in that time period from the middle of 20 to the middle of 2022, corporate profits cause 41% of all the inflation in America. I think we should do something about that. Hold them accountable. We should also help families, provide a middle-class tax cut, not a tax cut for big corporations and billionaires, and we should help families with a child tax credit to offset those costs that families incur.
It seems like the debate strategy throughout by McCormick was try to get Casey to accept any accountability for his role in the skyrocketing inflation, and he just continued to step aside. McCormick here just wrecking Casey and the Harris administration for their role in the inflation. Take a listen.
Stark choice. Senator Casey, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris said that all this $5 trillion of new spending would not drive inflation. Larry Summers, a Democrat economist that served as Obama's Treasury Secretary, said, no, if you spend $5 trillion, which is what they spent, of new money, it's going to drive up prices. That plus a war on fossil fuels has driven up fuel prices. So groceries are up 22%, rent 22%, electricity 35%, fuel 50% under the Biden-Harris-Casey plan. So I'm not saying that there isn't some company that could be potentially be price gouging. The problem is that this is caused by bad policy. And Senator Casey has been a 99% vote for all these excessive spending policies. And the one thing we learned in the Army day one is you got to take responsibility for your actions. He's not taking responsibility for his actions. These votes were obviously going to drive this inflation problem. It's killing working families, and we need to change.
So this idea of corporate profits is nuts. And if you ever took economy classes, if you listen to any expert, inflation is a direct result of the out of control spending. What's the saying? Like a drunken sailor. And so that's just ridiculous. It is. I know this is a progressive talking point, but it's nuts. Inflation is a direct result of the, and remember the ironically named Inflation Reduction Act. But this is the Biden-Harris administration pushing this lie. Inflation is caused by their ridiculous, outrageous spending that did nothing but caused, well, inflation and their policies. That's my bottom line on that one. We'll get to more of it, but we're up against a big break. So we'll reset at the top of the hour. Don't worry, when Trump starts to speak and maybe fireworks will fly. I don't know what's going to happen with the Trump-Harris interview, meaning on Fox, Harris Faulkner. So we have the lesser Harris, which is the Veep, I guess.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.